Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Okay, guys, it's episode 11 of How Not to Suck at Divorce. And this episode is all about how not to annoy your divorce attorney.
Be open and honest about your expectations.
So a strategy call sets expectations.
Correct.
You put a plan in place.
So we want to make sure there are no missteps.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Now, hear us out. You're most likely going to annoy your divorce attorney at some point, and that's okay. That's why you pay them the retainer. But what we want to do is we want to go through some things that you might not know that you need to be doing so that you can really maximize on your client attorney relationship, because the more that your attorney likes you and doesn't hate you, you might get the most bang from your buck out of that person, right? Because we're all human. So, but
I'm over here laughing and looking mortified.
Morgan in the corner right now. She's like curled up in a ball.
Totally.
But I have to say, this episode was your idea. You're like, we need to go over how not to annoy your attorney. Oh. And now that I'm talking about it, Morgan's looking at me with the "you can't say that" eyes.
That is true. So listen, I mean, we're human just like anyone else, right? So we want to do the best we can for you, but we also know that we also want
to be left the fuck alone.
Not necessarily.
No, I'm joking.
So we want to make sure that we know your case frontwards and backwards, but we want to do it in a way that we can take in the information, not the way sometimes that clients want to provide it. So I think it's important to talk about this, of what's the best way to give over information to your lawyer, to effectively communicate with your lawyer, and also, you know, what makes the most sense for you personally.
So let's start this way. Should you ever text with your attorney?
I think it depends on your attorney and you. Okay. I think that texts are a little dangerous because they're hard to keep track of what's said. So if someone wants to send me some text messages, it's more very vanilla things here and there. You know, should I do this? Should I not do this? It's not sending me detailed information.
But should I not do what? Like, should I order the bean burrito for lunch, or should I, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Totally.
Because there could even be should I's or should I not that are kind of like loaded
Correct.
Questions.
So sometimes a text message would be appropriate if, for instance, you have your lawyer's number and they're okay with it. Some lawyers are not okay with giving their personal cell phones. But if you do have that, obviously don't abuse it. But when would it be appropriate? So your spouse, and let's name her Donna.
Donna.
Because we're always talking about men.
Chad.
Chad. We've moved on. So Donna texts you and says, you know, I'm going to take the children on your day. You can't do anything about it. And I hate you. And then the client would send me a text message and say, do you know how I should respond to this? What's the best way to do it? That's a good way for a lawyer to engage on text message.
Is that even, and I'm just like thinking off the cuff here, but I didn't even know that that is something that I would present to my divorce attorney. Like, to me, that's like something I would send to a friend.
So I always pride myself on concierge service. And yes, I know that we are on the upper echelon of lawyers and what a lawyer could provide because mm-hmm. we are expensive. But that's why I give concierge service. So those are the things that we do. And why is it important? Because everything you write could be read by a judge or a GAL, which is an attorney for the children. So we want to make sure there are no missteps.
So, and something that I think it's important to mention, if your attorney gives you his or her cell phone number, then that's a good indicator of whether or not they want to be contacted that way for these little kind of minute, and I'm using air quotes, issues.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
If they don't give you their cell phone number, like let's say, for example, if they ever do call you, it's from a Google phone number, then that's probably an indicator that they don't want you to contact them.
Right. So remember this. Most divorce lawyers know that at times there will be very important things that come up in everyone's case. We watch our emails constantly. Or at least I do. So if there's an emergency and you don't have my cell phone number, you can bet that you're going to receive a call back. So it's not something you have to worry about. So if you don't have your divorce lawyer's number, it's not the end of the world.
Okay. So now text messaging, we know that that's for a very casual correspondence. Text messages are appropriate. If you're asking a, hey, in this situation, what would you do? Should I get the bean burrito? Should I respond yay or nay? Or like a Seth Rogen gif?
Totally.
Because that's going to be the best, you know, vehicle to deliver gifts.
Right.
Now, emails. What should get emailed and what should not get emailed?
So,
and one more thing before you answer that. Who, now, and I just want to say something just keep everybody on the same page. Just because you hire one attorney, right? One, you hire Morgan. That doesn't mean that there aren't other people who are working with Morgan.
Correct.
On your case. So with that being said, are there other people who see your emails? And if they email you, is it always you who emails back? Or sometimes is that email passed off to somebody else if you're busy putting out a larger fire?
So I feel like you asked me 100 questions in one.
I know, I did, but I just want to make sure, like, yes, we're talking about, because okay, I feel like the majority of us are going to be emailing.
Totally.
Right? Because not many people pick up a phone anymore.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, you're right. I did 100
okay,
things.
Okay, so I'm going to do my best to answer Andrea's 100 questions in one. And so the best way I can answer that is, number one, what's appropriate for email? Most communications are appropriate for email. And anything you want saved. So for instance, if it's an important text message, an important email that you received from your ex, those need to be saved through email from offices. So for instance, if I get a text message, it's a real pain in my you-know-what if I have to literally take a screenshot of a text message that you had with your spouse, send it to my office, ask them to index it, and save it to the system. Email is different because right away it can be saved onto the system. So I always prefer email for really important communications and most of the communications.
So if something happens, if your soon-to-be ex-spouse sends you something not so kind in a text message and you're like, what do I do with this? You are then advising they take a screenshot and they email that screenshot to you.
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. Correct.
Okay, so guys, if something is at all importance or something that you're like, I really feel funky about this, send it in an email.
Exactly. Okay. Trust your gut. Send it in an email. Ask your lawyer, do you find anything wrong with this? Because something doesn't feel right about this communication or what I received. All right. So let's move on to your second out of 100 questions.
Part 2A.
That's right. 2A. So 2A is what happens if you're communicating, I think, with your lead attorney's associate or correct, junior partner, etc. It all depends office to office, but for instance, at my office, we usually work in teams and we do it for a few reasons. One, because someone's always there to answer a question if you need it, because we do have other cases. Most lawyers are really, really busy. Also, that person knows what's going on in your file and they can get back to you. And the third reason usually is that a senior partner is going to charge more than a junior partner or an associate. So you're going to get the benefit and the cost savings if someone younger or less expensive is responding to you.
And don't be offended by that, you guys.
No.
Because the thing is, the senior associates are putting out the largest fires.
The senior partners.
I'm sorry, the senior partners. I said the word associates. I meant partners. Take it as a compliment that your fire is not as large as the entire building that's burning down around the corner from you. So don't look at it as, ugh, a junior associate is responding to me instead of Morgan.
Right. And remember this too. And it could be different for other lawyers, but when I have clients and I have a team on a client case, let's just say it's your case, Andrea, mm-hmm, I am watching everything that comes in the door. I'm watching to make sure someone has responded to you. I'm watching to make sure if it's a major fire or, like you just said, it's a small fire. Mm-hmm. I'm watching to make sure that the strategy is right. So I'm managing it, but I'm managing it from behind the scenes and I'm making sure that it's right. If it's not, I will be there and I will step in.
Your eyes are on everything.
Always.
Just because you might not be the one hitting the send button on the email, it doesn't mean that you're not aware of what's going on.
Correct. And if the senior partner feels like they need to be there, they will be there. So, or another way, because people may want to ask is, you know, what if I only want the senior partner?
I was about to say that.
Like what? Yeah. That's fair.
Right. Because I think some people feel like I'm paying for the senior partner. I don't want Joseph. I want Morgan.
Yep.
So walk us through
yes,
that.
Yes. So number one, I always say to every client, be open and honest about your expectations. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you want and you're willing to pay top dollar to have the senior partner do everything, say
everything.
And you know what? A senior partner may say, you know what? That's not a good fit for me because that's not how I run my business. Here's how I run my business. And if I'm there, let's just say 75% of the time, will it be acceptable for you? Be now, open and honest.
Let's say that you're more middle of the road, which is, I think, where a lot of people fall.
Totally.
That when we're going through, like, the kind of minutia, right, we're fine with the junior associate looking over stuff. But if something is really feeling like the stakes are quite high, mm-hmm, and I really want Morgan herself, the woman I sat down with at my first meet and greet interview, and that's who I want looking over this, what's the most appropriate way for them to say, I'm so sorry, could I have Morgan herself take a look at this?
So there's two ways to do it. Number one is just coming through the front door, sending me an email and saying, I would really like you to either be there or look at this. The second way, and usually the best way to do it, is to say, hey, can we set up a strategy call? Let's get you, Morgan, let's get your associate that's working on my case and myself on the call together so that everyone can hear the exact same strategy. And then most clients feel comfortable after that call, and then whatever happens next, they're okay with it. It's more of the uncomfortable feeling.
So a strategy call, just so everyone knows, sets expectations.
Correct.
You put a plan in place. And after you have a strategy call, everybody then knows what their job is, right? So then once the expectations are set, then you as a client know this is what I'm doing and this is what they're doing. Because sometimes after a strategy call, there's work that you need to be doing too.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So it really does set the expectations now. $1 million question. Mm-hmm. A strategy call. Are those billable hours?
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
So you are paying for that time, people. So please know that. Know that, I mean, we all, I think we all understand how a retainer fee is structured and how those billable hours that you have, like, go against that retainer. And then after you meet that retainer, you're going to have bills after that for anything and everything that your attorneys are doing for you. These phone calls are what they call billable hours, meaning your attorney is not your best friend. That is not the person whom you can call and say, oh God, Morgan, what a day I've had.
Or you can if you have a lot of money and you don't care.
Right. But you are going to pay for that time.
Correct.
Because the Morgans of the world have a lot of other people they're helping. And so you are definitely deserving of that time, but it's not free time. Just like how you don't call your therapist and expect your therapist to be on the phone with you for an hour, giving you guidance and life advice and listening to the stories about how your mother never gave you the kind of candy that you wanted when you were a child. And now, like, for the rest of your life, where are the Reese's? Where are the Reese's? Where are the Reese's? Right? They charge you for that. So keep in mind that this is billable. Right?
Right.
So if you're going to ask for a strategy call, make sure that there's a reason behind it.
Right. So you started the episode with how not to annoy your divorce lawyer. For me, yes, that's part of it. But on the flip side, it's more about how to make your divorce lawyer understand what you're saying and really focus in on things, right? Because what I may find annoying also kind of cuts both ways, because I may not be able to take in all the information that you want me to. So what I'm talking about the 3-page emails that are single spaced. Does anyone want to get those?
No.
I've lost complete ability to focus in after line 3.
Oh my
complete.
God.
At times, if they're important, I literally have to print them out. And you know how long it takes me to go through them and digest exactly what you want me to know? It's not efficient, everybody.
I think the other thing I wanted to just say when you were starting to talk about setting those expectations is, I think that people have to understand, like, what's the type of relationship you want to have with your
Yes.
divorce attorney, and does your divorce attorney even want to have that kind of relationship? Right? Because you mentioned that before. Like, if you say, this is what I want in a person, then you have to also know, like, it's not only about what you want.
Yes.
This divorce attorney runs a business. It's like hiring an interior designer. And you're like, okay, but just so you know, I'm the kind of person where I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite kind of material for a couch? And then I'm going to say, nope, I don't like any of those. Come up with more. Right?
Yes.
And your interior designer might say, yeah, I don't really work that way.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's a two-way street.
But so let's talk about what you can do to make the information that's important go in, right? So you can send an email. What I always recommend is bullet point it. Bullet point the most important information. Listen, if you have things running through your head that's like somebody threw up on you and you cannot put a coherent sentence together, or you need the 3-page email, that's a better scenario for a phone call or a strategy call.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an email. I think too many times in this day and age, people just do stream of consciousness. They just start blasting on emails.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think, and again, like, this is the voice of a person who went through this. I think it's so hard to not think logically when we're feeling emotions that feel like they are pouring out of every opening of our body.
Right.
Right. It's just like,
but let me ask you this. Okay. Has an email ever helped that?
No.
Never.
No.
The only time that you feel comfortable, if you're feeling so uneasy, like you're talking about, and
yeah.
I see it every day, is in either in-person meeting, a phone conference, or a Zoom, where you actually
totally.
Are able to connect with someone.
And sometimes, you guys, now we know that we're paying for this service. Sometimes it's worth the money to actually say, you know what? I need a face-to-face, because it's been a few months. And sometimes, and this is from a client's perspective, sometimes you need your divorce attorney to see how frustrated you are.
Yes.
And it's not meaning that you're frustrated with the attorney, but you're frustrated with the situation. It's okay if you cry.
Yes.
It's okay. This is a very emotional experience. And maybe you say, you know what? rather than going on and sending you emails that you're charging me to read and respond to, can we set up a 45-minute conference?
Yes.
Where I can come in and I can say to you, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of fighting. I am so tired over this. I want this wrapped up. I remember I had a call with my attorney at one point that said, wrap it up. I'm done. I'm done. And it was something that I could not convey in an email.
No.
Like, it didn't land the same way. And again, I got divorced during COVID, so a face-to-face was not an option. But I got her on the phone, and I said, wrap it up. Wrap it up. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I'm out of it. I'm out of F's. Do it. Send me an MSA. I will sign it. I am done. Right? So sometimes a person, and again, because we're human, they need to hear that inflection in your tone. Also,
yes.
How much gets lost in an email?
Oh my gosh.
Seeing the words, I'm done, period.
Right?
We don't know what that sounds like.
No.
We don't know if it's like, I'm done. I'm done.
Yes.
Or if it's, I'm done.
Right.
Right?
Totally different.
We don't know if it's that lump in the throat mm-hmm. that you can audibly hear, but you can't read. So as a human, Morgan's not going to know if I'm done means I'm passive aggressively saying you didn't do your job, right? Or if it's I'm emotionally done. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not worth the mental and emotional load to keep fighting over things that maybe really aren't that important.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. That's why I always say, so you and I were talking before we started this podcast about, can we tell the listeners what's, you know, what is appropriate for an email? What's appropriate for an in-person meeting, etc. So I can tell you what's appropriate in my experience. The first meeting has to be an in-person or Zoom. I want to see you. I want to see how you act. I want you to see me. I want you to see if I'm the right fit for you.
That's mainly because we judge people by their shoes.
That's true.
So, like, if the shoes are from, oh my God, do you remember Payless? Is Payless still even in business?
I have no idea. But I do remember there. I used to get my Keds from there.
No, they did not sell Keds.
I think they did sell, like,
they
generic sell set Keds.
Generic
yes, they did.
Keds.
Okay, well,
sell,
I called
like,
it Keds, okay?
Keds.
I didn't have name brand.
You might have been the only one.
Okay.
So we're just saying that, like, if your shoes are from Keds, I mean, if your shoes are from Payless, no. Just because you should get shoes from somewhere
I would
often.
Still let you in my office.
Amazon has shoes for the same price.
Oh.
For less. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Face to face. I agree.
Face to face.
Continue.
Okay. Other things. Emails. Things, updates. You know, if your gut is telling you something or there's a weird text message, those are good for emails. Or if you're like, you know what? I want to talk to you about five things or I'm not feeling really comfortable on the strategy. Can we recap that? That's an email. Remember, bullet point it. So then, what is appropriate for a phone call? Strategy calls, recaps of court, prepping for going forward.
Wait, recaps of court. Remind, so like if you just had a hearing.
Correct.
And it's like, what exactly? Okay, got it.
Exactly. So what happened? What did the judge say? What did everyone say? Let me tell you how it went down.
That's something that your attorney would typically reach out to you, though, for that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, okay.
Now, remember, guys, that attorneys are very busy. It is not unusual for them to have numerous court cases up in one day. So the bottom line is if they do not get back to you the same day of your court hearing or court status, they should get back to you within 24 hours. Just calm. Most good lawyers will get back to you. If you don't hear from them after that, certainly follow up. But remember, everybody has numerous court cases.
That's so hard, though. I have to say.
It is so hard.
Just, like, calling bullshit for a minute. For the person who's going through a divorce, like, you have those court dates in your mind, right? And I don't know why we do that, because really nothing ever gets determined. But, like, in our mind, like, I remember it was, like, October 15th, right? And then you know, like, my hearing was at whatever, first thing in the morning, right? But I didn't have to be on the call. Then I want to know, like, well, what happened? Hello,
so
what happened?
I agree with you.
Hello, what happened?
So here's
it's
the
so
thing.
Hard.
If it's a hearing, right, which you guys, that's like a mini trial. That's something where a judge could determine something. Absolutely, your attorney should tell you what happened thereafter that day. If it's a status, just
well,
a
right,
check
that's
in,
nothing.
That's no big deal. You shouldn't expect to hear from your attorney that day, potentially.
So guys, so basically what Morgan is saying is know the difference.
Totally. Know the difference. Know what your court case is up for. Your lawyer should be telling you, this is the date that it's up next. This is what it's for. Do you need to appear? If you don't know that, you need to really kind of look at your lawyer and take them to task.
That's a good point, because what I was referring to just now is that the actual hearings where there's like something major being decided that you're like, hello. Like,
oh, I agree. You will be contacted immediately.
You should be contacted. Yes. Right after you're done with that.
I mean, you should be really there.
You should be there. However, I mean, again, my experience was the COVID year where you couldn't be there.
Right.
But you should be there. And if your attorney cannot go into great depth because they're jumping into another appearance, mm-hmm. then there should always be, correct me if I'm wrong, a time when you recap at greater length.
Absolutely. The okay. same day. If there's something major decided or done in your case,
right.
that same day you should hear about it. I agree with you.
So now, let's go to the highest level of contact, which would be face-to-face. When throughout your divorce process, aside from the initial meet and greet, do you think that a face-to-face is justified?
I wouldn't use the word justified. I think I would use the term what's appropriate to you, but also the lawyer. So
okay.
here's the thing. If I know you better, I'm going to be able to do better for you because I'm going to know what matters to you. I'm going to be able to read you, etc. I prefer more face-to-face. That's just
really?
Me. I do. Now, not it doesn't mean in the world of Zoom that I mean you have to show up at my office. If you want to, I welcome that. But it's more Zoom where I can see you. I want to see how you're acting. I want to see how you're reacting when I'm talking to you because that leads me down the right path for you. Phone calls are fine, but I think a healthy mix of both is super important.
I think another thing that Morgan is saying without saying it is that a good attorney is going to be able to take your temperature.
Yes.
Sometimes we say things without saying it.
Correct.
So if you are verbally saying one thing, but your body language is saying another, an intuitive attorney is going to pick up on what's not being said and say, okay, I just want to say every single time I mention the pool, you squirm. Is there something more that I don't know about this, right? And whether it's something that has to go back to financials or an emotional story or something that Donna did at some point. Oh God, the things that Donna did.
Donna.
God, Donna. Then, like, these are things that your attorney will pick up on. Now, I just thought of off the top of my head, billable hours. Is there a scale there? Meaning, is it one kind of rate if it's via email? Do you charge more if it's face-to-face? Like, how does that work?
So it all depends on the lawyer and the firm that you hire. I have seen lawyers charge different time for in-court time. Generally, sometimes I've seen people charge more than office time. For us, we don't decipher. It's all the same time. Some you really do need to look at the retainer agreement and talk to them, because I even have heard some rumors that some people charge time and a half for overtime. And what overtime looks like, I have no idea.
Wait,
or weekend time.
Wait, what's overtime?
Essentially after business hours.
And what's 5 o'clock? After 5 o'clock is business?
I don't know. That was a rumor that I heard, that an attorney was doing that. And so you really kind of need to look at it. It's not standard to have things like that. So that's why I'm just alerting everybody, because that's why we're doing this podcast.
But generally speaking.
Generally speaking, you're going to find two types of billables. One is just straight across the board. It's the same amount of time no matter when it's done. Mm-hmm. And the other kind of billable is it's X amount for office time or talking to you, and it's X amount for court time. And usually court time is more.
Now, here's something that's going to make people spit out their coffee or their alcohol or whatever you're sipping. Give us the range.
Of fees.
Yeah. Like, what are we looking at? Because I think that this is important for people to know, because it's one thing to pay a retainer, right? Like, let's say that somebody's retainer is on in the mid-level. And again, guys, we're in the Chicago market, so what's mid for us might not be mid for you. But let's say it's a $5,000 retainer,
mm-hmm.
okay? Depending on what the hourly is, that retainer can go in 2 weeks.
Right. Or it less. Depends on how busy the case is too, right? How much work.
It depends on how busy the case is. So don't always look at that retainer fee and think, oh, it's only $5,000. I can get divorced for five. Okay, fine. Here you go.
Right.
Right? Because if their hourly is whatever. I mean, that's the thing. I think we need to get into that a little bit.
Right. So we're in the Chicago market, and I would say that attorneys range anywhere from approximately $200 an hour all the way up to $700 an hour, yep, depending on their experience, their background, their, you know, point in their firm, etc. So remember,
that's
too,
a lot of money, you guys.
It's
I
a
know
lot.
That for those of you right now who need a second to digest that, because for a lot of people, that's a lot of money.
It is. It's a lot of money. And it's also, you know, you brought up a good point. You really kind of have to weigh of what am I getting if I pay more money towards an hourly rate? What am I getting if I pay less? Can I do something in the middle?
Yep.
There's a lot of things to weigh.
And retainer versus hourly.
That's right.
So don't always look at that retainer. I think what's hard about the retainer is that it's an all at one, it's an upfront fee.
Yes.
Right? You want us? Well, then you need to have a credit card that we can run 45, 65, whatever it is, $100 on, mm-hmm, 10,000, right? To like get going here. That's a lot of effing money.
It is.
Now, if this is the right person for you, but the retainer is so high and it's hard to swallow, have a conversation with the firm. Like, okay, this is what I want. What can be done? Because, and I will say, because
I went through it,
I can't remember exactly. I feel like my retainer was not high at all. I feel like my retainer was only like $3,500. But the hourly is high. And so you think $3,500, okay. I mean, and I'll be completely transparent. My dad paid that for me. Because when I moved out of my house, I was cut off to all access of money. So I didn't have $3,500 just sitting there. I didn't. So that was charged on my dad's credit card. And then you don't realize how in a matter of days, that money is gone.
Right. So
now
it's funny you say that. So a lot of people come to me and they were like, they say, well, you know, your retainer's higher than Joe Smith down the street.
Yeah.
And I say, that's right. Because what I'm trying to do is get you through this period of time without hitting you with a humongous bill. And other people may do it opposite, but you have to be really careful because within a month, you may get, your retainer may be gone and you may get a big bill. So I'm always erring on the side of caution. I want a happy client. I want a happy client that knows the expectations on both ends and I know their expectations so that we're meeting in the middle. So that's something to consider.
Also, I think a lot of people need a lot of support initially.
Yes.
Up front, right? And so a lot of times, a lot of firms are structured in the way of that retainer fee is going to be higher initially because if they don't charge that initially, then you eat through that retainer immediately and that you're served with more bills. And those bills hit you on the worst days when you are feeling so low and so isolated and so sad and just frustrated because it is frustrating. So the last thing you want to do is open up a bill from your attorney. You're like, oh my God, I just got off the phone with you and now you want me to pay? But look, this is a business. This is what
That's
we
right.
do. Not we. I say we. I'm not an attorney. Haven't become an attorney overnight. Don't worry. I probably never will become an attorney. So you guys are all safe. But there's a reason why it's structured this way. And there is something to be said for the fact that the higher retainers initially mean that you're not going to get a bill.
That's true.
That first time. And that is when you are going to need a lot of guidance.
Yes. That's why we want to get you through at least the first month or two.
At least.
Your hand is held. You understand what's happening, etc. And here's the good news, guys. If it's not used, most firms return it. We return it.
Whoa.
So if you, let's just say two things. One, you decide, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not for me. Your retainer's returned, whatever is not used. The other thing is, is some people say, you know what? We're totally amicable. We've worked out this whole deal. Can you bless it and get it done?
Can you bless it?
Yeah, meaning like your lawyer. Yes, like a rabbi.
Oh, my God.
Is this okay legally?
Is this kosher?
That's right. If we say, yes, it's okay legally, and we drop the papers, and you guys are done, and there's money left over, it's refunded.
Holy hell, you guys. Actually, I'm learning something new. I had no idea.
It
makes complete sense, but mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yep. So it pays to be amicable.
I mean, in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
There was one thing I was going to say. Oh, paying that higher retainer.
Yes.
That is, if things are not totally balls to the wall sideways, that's going to get you through the parenting agreement.
Not necessarily.
No?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It could. Hopefully, most amicable cases, it would.
Okay.
But, you know, where does it get expensive, everybody? This is what people, you know, they always want divorce lawyers to tell them what's it going to cost. Well, we don't know what the other side's going to do. We don't know if the other side's going to fight on every little thing.
That's true.
We don't know. I always say it takes two to settle a case. You could want to settle, but if your ex doesn't want to settle, it's going to be potentially a really difficult case and very expensive. So we do the best we can, and that's why if we can do it quickly.
And that's something else that I have to interject and say. Another reason why you want to hire an amazing attorney. And guys, again, if you are at all in the counties that Morgan serves, a good... attuned attorney is going to be sensitive to the fact that, okay, you are divorcing somebody who does not want this, who is not here to play ball. They have tactics. There are ways to communicate with your soon-to-be, hopefully, ex-spouse's attorney to get this done so that you're not just not paying and paying
right.
and paying for
yep.
motion hearings that go nowhere.
Agreed.
And again, guys, I am speaking 100% from experience. And again, this is why I'm going to try so hard not to cry. But like, this is why doing a show like this with Morgan was so important to me, because my experience was absolutely horrific. And I don't want other people, if it's at all possible, to go through that. It is so worth it to have somebody who can guide you and show you, okay, this is what we need to do now. This isn't working with your ex, soon-to-be ex-spouse and their attorney. So we're going to do this instead. Let's deviate. Let's try this. You have to have tactics.
Exactly. Yep. And that's the worst part, is if you get two lawyers on the case that don't like each other.
Aye.
You don't want that. All I can tell you is that if you get a lawyer who hates the other side or you think it's becoming personal, cut bait. Move on.
100%.
Move on, because it will not benefit you, your children, or your estate.
Just like how you and your ex-spouse quarreling isn't going to get you guys anywhere. The attorneys cannot be at odds.
Right.
The attorneys have to have the mindset of, let's get these two people out of here as unscathed as possible. So with that being said, guys, Let's lighten things up.
Let's do it.
Let's lighten things up. Let's live in the world of being unscathed. And let's go into my favorite segment, which is called Tales from the Internet. So, Morgan.
Yes.
Tales of the Interweb.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy divorce stories. The things that happen. The crazy things that you were like, this is absolutely insane. I cannot believe that this is going on. What are things that you have seen that you are like, wait, hold up, what? And then I'm going to read you crazy stories from Tales from Texas, which is my home state.
All right. So I have seen many things. And it's so funny because when I'm asked at, you know, a party or whatever, what have you seen? I cannot remember for the life of me. I need to write these down. But
I'm sure it's true.
I mean, I have fought. I've actually gone to a trial over cats and dogs.
What?
Yes. Cats and dogs. I never thought in a million years I would go to law school and then do a trial over cats and dogs. I have fought over the balsamic vinegar collection. mm-hmm. I have argued over things that are so ridiculous that it, at some point, all, you know, sense of clarity for both parties has been completely gone. And it could be as ridiculous as plates or a couch, whatever it is, it's just not worth it overall.
I mean, it usually never is. What was the story? Didn't we talk once about some kind of ketchup collection?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there? What was it? I feel like there was something.
I actually had a case where they put on a property distribution list ketchup that was in the cupboard.
What?
Yes. They wanted to divide it out.
That's so weird to me. Wait, I was just thinking about something. I know that in Canada, aren't there special, like, rule, like in Canada, don't you have to be separated for a year before you can file? Like, I know from people I've spoken to who have reached out to me, like, there are certain areas where you have to be, like, legally separated for a certain period of time before you can file for a divorce. I just find that so interesting.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Illinois always had a law very similar, but Illinois' case law, if you got a good lawyer, your lawyer would say it doesn't mean that you're physically separated. It could be mentally. Like, I'm done with the marriage, and I've been done with the marriage for 6 months, and that's enough to get over that hump. Yes. Yes.
That is so interesting. Okay. I'm searching for something. There was a story that I was looking to find. I found something about Oklahoma, speaking of Texas. So if a resident of Oklahoma, I know it's the northern neighbor, potato, potato, not really. If a resident of Oklahoma meets somebody right after divorcing and wants to walk down the aisle again, he or she has to wait 6 months. Okay. People who have filed for divorce in Oklahoma may not remarry anybody in Oklahoma.
What?
And what? Wait, huh? People who have filed for divorce may not marry anyone in Oklahoma unless they are remarrying their former spouse. Oh, for 6 months.
But you could remarry the former
somebody
spouse.
Somebody from, like, Iowa. Yeah, it just can't be somebody else in Oklahoma.
Okay. What are they? Is the point of the law to save their constituents?
I suppose. Oh, look, and the story right after that story, Morgan, is that same one that we read several months ago about that couple in Cambodia that sawed their house in half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll never forget that one.
That's always. Oh, ew, here's one. A couple in Australia was getting a divorce, and she got the family farm. Okay, so far, so good. There's nothing strange about this. However, she then wanted her soon-to-be ex to dig up his parents' ashes from the yard, for he had created a memorial garden from them, and remove him from the property.
A memorial garden.
Okay, part of me feels like that's way harsher, and the other part of me is like, girl, I get it.
But what's the takeaway, right? You don't suck as bad as...
That's true.
Story.
It's true.
It is.
You think you're sucking at divorce unless you are having somebody's ashes dug up and moved elsewhere, then girl, you're going to be just fine. Uh-huh. So with that, we bid you adieu. Guys, there is one episode remaining in our very first season of How Not to Suck at Divorce, and I'm kind of excited to tell you it's going to be our company holiday party.
And by company, we mean the two of us.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. Morgan. Just the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to, if you think that this episode was grand, which it probably was mildly grand, we finished our cocktails. The holiday party is going to be off the chain. It's going to be wild. We may or may not have entertainment. Cardi B hasn't responded yet. We're going to try texting, emailing, and a face-to-face. And her billable hours are going to be hashtag worth it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be amazing. And we are going to talk. The whole episode is dedicated to tell me what you want, what you really, really want. And it's going to be how do you survive a divorce?
In the holidays.
In the holidays.
That's right. So anyway, thank you guys for seeing us and viewing us and listening to us on how not to suck at divorce. If you want to learn more, we're happy to answer any DMs. I am at Divorce Attorney Chicago, and Andrea?
I am at The Andrea Rappaport. So guys, find us on Instagram. Follow along with our stories. We are happy and want to talk to you. If you liked this episode, please rate and review us on however you have listened to it. And if you didn't like it, keep that information to yourself, please. We love you all, and we can't wait to see you guys next time.
Or at the holiday party.
That's right. Bye.